Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to the King of Queens podcast, the award-winning King of Queens podcast.
That's right. Let's claim it.
Not yet, anyway, right? I have returning to the show, Dumaka. How you doing?
I am doing quite fine. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing all right. Thanks again for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate you and all the people who take the time to have an awesome discussion about our favorite sitcom.
Pleasure's all mine.
Friends. It's the Friends cast. So I am curious. So there's the King of Queens, of course, that you and your wife are very fond of, as am I. What other shows do you kind of put into your wheelhouse?
That's a great question. I am not a TV person. Let me start by saying that my wife is more of the TV person. But of course, there's her crime show. She loves all of the crime shows. And oddly enough, we had just watched the documentary that involved Patton Oswalt's wife. And she was heavily featured in it. And, you know, we made that connection. But we rotate. We also, you know, we watch some other throwback shows, cartoons. She's into Courage right now. I don't know what it is about Courage the Dog. But she's been enjoying Courage the Dog right now. So what can I say?
What was the documentary that you watched? That was about the Golden State Killer. Was that it?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to look into that.
No, it was the lady. I think it was that the clown lady.
You know, there's so many different.
There's so many. We're gonna find it.
Yeah, I mentioned I do so many different podcasts when we last spoke, and believe it or not, I do true crime podcasts as well. And those get extremely dark and disturbing. Ones that I do, one that's a little bit lighter, even though like it does get darker from time to time, is it's called Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. And what it is I go back to that TV show from when you and I were kids. Unsolved Mysteries, and it basically gives an update to where those an overview and an update if one is available. That show does well, you know, like good following, you know.
Well, I've definitely got to tell my wife about that. She loves that kind of stuff, and you are absolutely right, Golden State Killer. Okay. I'll be gone in the dark. I got my stories crossed.
That's all good. I'm going to write that down because, I've been wanting to follow that one. What is the name of the documentary?
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. That was the book she was writing.
Be Gone in the Dark. I've said my stuff about Patton Oswalt, how, you know, he moved on pretty quickly after his wife had passed away. But, you know, some people do heal in different ways and speeds. So I'm not going to, like, fully judge him. I think I said last time we spoke, he does have a phenomenal stand-up. I'm a big fan of his comedy. And he has a great book I have about film. And I don't remember the title. But, you know, just like Woody Allen. I don't have to love the guy or think and think that like he's a super moral person to love his work, you know.
Understood. I'll feel the same way about R. Kelly.
Yeah, I like R. Kelly's music, but you know, I don't want to see Waterworks. Right. I'm not going to go any deeper than that.
We won't. Yeah, I haven't listened in a while, but I didn't know that fact about him remarrying. And I'm reading the notes here, and I'm like, yeah, that was pretty fast. Yeah. Okay, you meant fast, like maybe even less than a year.
Yeah, it's a tragic thing too. I mean, God forbid something like that happens. You know, you're both young, and she just died. I think out of nowhere, right? Like she just, I forget the details.
Some pills, I think, involved in the medication. Yeah.
Well, you know, I do like Patton Oswalt. I'm a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Spence. So, all right, let's get on to some happy stuff for once. It's like we'll start doing a true crime podcast right now. We're going back to I think it's November 18th, 2002.
Correct.
And the episode we're talking about is Connect Four. And this is a weird one. Like, well, you know, it's not that weird, but there's some weird stuff going on. There's a lot of really great actors in this. One in particular that I'm a big fan of. And I don't know. I'd say we jump into it. And what we have is we have the boys not hanging out in the garage. We're in the living room. This happens from time to time. They're either in the living room or in that garage.
Yeah. Season 5, episode 9. And what attracted you to this episode?
I guess in general, I like the whole idea of finding new friends, you know? Now this is around the time where Deacon and Kelly are on the outs. So it's right. Cause so it's a weird time for the show. Are they on the outs? Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that whole storyline, even though it's kind of sad, but they do get back together.
Yes. After some things occur.
Yeah. you mentioned about Spence being creepy about, his affection for Carrie, but he kind of shares that same affection with Deacon.
On certain levels he does.
He's a confused young man. He's very confused. All right, so here we are. We're in the opening, and guys are just kind of watching. I forget what they're watching. Some watching a Knicks game, I believe.
Yes!
Classic.
You think he had that since he was like a kid?
Whoops.
To the top of the key. Yes!
How great is Marv Albert's?
Yes!
Classic.
You think he had that since he was like a kid? You know? Like,
Marvin, did you make in the potty?
Yes, and it counts.
So this is like a sports reference, right?
A lot of those. Those are definitely Jets, Mets.
This goes way over my head. Like I've heard of Albert. I forget his first name already. I've heard of him, but I have no idea what they're talking about here.
Yeah, Marv Albert is a world-renowned sports commentator, primarily basketball. Of course, one of those iconic voices.
Yeah.
So where's Carrie tonight?
Firm's having this big party because they want some case.
Oh, so she's working late with the boss man?
So funny. Danny's, I did not like Danny when I first got into the show, and Danny has really grown on me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're supposed to like him. He's obnoxious for a reason. He wears it well. But look, he's part of the crew.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's porno music.
I thought it was the Starsky and Hutch theme.
Starsky and Hutch, which is another iconic theme song, you know?
Definitely.
I'm forgetting what it is. I forget how it goes.
It's clearly porno music.
Is that enough?
So yeah, Spence is like miming, slapping and getting into it, and these boys are having too many beers, maybe. Let's see. So
I get nauseous.
We can't skip the celebration.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I gotta run. I gotta pick up the kids at Kelly's.
Well, can't they wait 10 minutes? Come on, we got a tie game here.
Nah, it takes me forever to find a place to park there. I got a damn ticket when I dropped them off this morning.
So that introduces the subplot of the show, which we don't always have a decent subplot.
Hey, Arthur, have a good one.
I love this. Arthur is so desperate for any level of attention. He's like anything. Right,
this one is really clout chasing. Oh,
I love this.
Straight clout chasing.
Yeah.
You may not want to rush out of here just yet. I have an enticing proposition for you vis-a-vis your parking ticket.
You know, you always you may know people who are like, I know a guy, you know, it's unfortunate that that guy ends up being Artie.
Absolutely.
What?
Or Nubsy.
I have a pal named Smitty. We were kosher slaughterers back in the 50s. The heyday of kosher meats.
All right. So this is another little funny thing. Most koshering people are Jewish, right? So I would think all koshering people are Jewish. And of course, Stiller is Jewish in real life, but not on the show. So it's just another one. If we were to like go down the rabbit hole, Arthur just like threw a yarmulke on and basically faked his way through it.
Yeah, and Deacon, he knows him well enough now, so he's super skeptical, super yes. hesitant to even engage with this guy because he knows he's full of it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Uh-huh. One day, Smitty got cute with an axe. Thanks to me, he still has his thumbs. No pinkies, though.
It's always a story.
Right. Deacon's face.
Yeah.
My kids are waiting for me, so...
Smitty works down at the parking bureau now. He'll fix any ticket for me.
I appreciate the gesture, but no thanks.
Clean out your ears, fella. I can make this whole thing go away.
All right. Knock yourself out. I wasn't going to pay the thing anyway.
So he's like, I finally have a friend.
Yeah, and what I love about this, though, that there's these ongoing scenes where it's Deacon and Arthur, you know, having their own interaction, whether it's the time when they're eating Cheetos on the couch or one of my favorite episodes when he spills the curried clam soup on the bed.
Oh, my God, that is Wiley's my gosh. In Doug's uniform.
Well, we won't even go there. We got to save that one. Yeah.
That whole thing.
Are you trying to be Doug?
That is such a funny scene.
Hello.
I also love the line from Arthur where he's like, do I smell oatmeal and salad?
Oh my gosh, pass the Russian dressing.
And he's like shaking his hands like
hilarious.
Oh, somebody's in a good mood.
That's because somebody won a big fat prize at the party raffle.
All right, so the way they react is insane.
That's one of my favorite parts of this episode, especially Doug.
It is, yeah, like it is legit insane.
For the next month, we get 4 company seats to the Knicks.
Yeah!
Oh, no yeah! Way!
They're knocking the table over, the lamp.
It's kind of controlled chaos.
They're just all like going nuts.
This is awkward. I'm sorry, you guys, but Doug and I are going to be taking another couple.
What? Who?
I don't know yet, but not them. Doug, I need a girl there, okay? Like, while you and the other guy are talking about the game, we could be talking about which gorgeous black man fills out his shorts better.
Come on, Kar. I don't want to go to the Knick game with a couple I've never met before.
I also think that it would be Deacon would get first dibs, in my opinion. I mean, of course, he's not in the room, but
right.
Still.
I hate people I don't know.
He should have had Spence go and pick up his kids.
Right. I love that line with Doug here, though. I hate people I don't know.
Yeah.
I hate people. My wife and I are kind of like this, so we get a kick out of this.
Yeah, I buy into this. But Carrie does, she's like, well, they're my ticket, and we're going to go to Madison Square Garden. It's kind of hilarious that we're looking at the front of Madison Square Garden and no longer looks like this. They've completely changed it. And I really miss this early 2000s.
Hey, look front. At that Chemical Bank.
Yeah, Chemical Bank, right? That's crazy. Cabs. You don't even see right. cabs anymore.
You might be right, but in his defense, those are very baggy shorts. Well, number 28 shorts are baggy, and it ain't hurting him.
So this is really great.
Back in my day, they used a two-handed set shot. Now, that was basketball.
So this guy...
Gramps.
From what I can tell, this guy ends up being about 68, 69 years old. So, yeah, there's a tremendous age difference. I'm going to say Doug is, what, mid to late 30s.
Correct.
So that's tremendous, right?
Did you ever see Stretch Maloney play for the old St. Louis Bombers?
My thing, though, this is one of my, I don't know. I end up talking to everyone who's a lot older than me because all of the things that I do are based on the generation before me and even the generation before that. So I'll get in, like, I went to film school for, and I focused mostly on movies and films and experimental things before 1940. So that's my like forte. And, or as Doug might say, my milieu. But yeah, like, so when I'm talking to some people, they're like, how old are you? You know, cause it's like,
well, you know, listen, if you're following Little House on the Prairie, that's a lot. Yeah.
Well, that is my childhood, you know, but you know, that's at least legitimately 70s and 80s.
I don't believe I did. No.
So yeah, they're kind of going back and forth and discussing, and you could just see Doug is not having a great time. And afterward, it really is funny. They're like, we're going to go out to eat. And he's like, no, you know, you probably have to get up early. And the older guy's like, no, I'm retired. And he's like, of course you are.
Of course.
Of course. So they just kind of, you know, do their own thing. They go home.
You guys, we had a great time.
See ya.
Bye. I didn't know, okay?
I love this line from Doug.
In all the times you were spinning, she never once said, hey, great workout. By the way, my husband, a billion years old.
A billion with a B.
A billion years old. So they kind of argue. I mean, kind of get around it. You know, we flip over to the DMV where Arthur's online. He's going to... I love this little scene.
I'd like to see Smitty, please. Smitty? Medium build, brown hair. No pinkies.
No pinkies.
Oh, Nubsy. He hasn't been here in like 5 years.
That's too bad. He used to handle my tickets for me. Oh, well, I should...
This guy's like rolling his eyes.
My gosh, that's almost lunchtime. Who is this guy?
The baton shall pass to a new generation. Now make like Houdini and get this ticket to disappear.
I love how presumptuous Arthur is.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Look, I told my friend I would make this go away. Don't make me slink back to him with my tail between my legs.
Sir, there's really nothing I can do.
Perhaps a visit from Mr. Abraham Lincoln would change your mind.
This is like a federal offense, by
the way. The audacity.
I don't think so.
What if Mr. Jackson came along for the ride?
Sir, for $2 more, you could just pay the ticket.
How about if only one...
One of the Washington Twins.
Of the Washington Twins showed up.
I'm going to need them both.
Righto.
So it's like he just paid the ticket, which is kind of hilarious.
And we know Arthur's pockets are kind of tight. So this is like big for him. This $12 hurts.
Yeah, like this definitely cleans him out of all of the change that he steals off of Doug's like dresser. So we had discussed, going with another couple, which I just think is a great idea, especially after what happened before the billion-year-old man. So, let's see, we have Eddie, who's another IPS driver. Eddie was in a TV. Do you know this actor at all?
I can't place him. I've seen him. He looks familiar, but I don't know from where.
Yeah. His name in real life is Eddie. It's Eddie McClintock. And I know him from a TV show called Warehouse 13, which was a phenomenal show. Let's see, that aired from 2009 to 2014. He's a really, really great actor. I'm not saying he's like some, you know, he's a fun actor. He's like a really natural actor. And he's kind of a goofy guy. I don't know if he's wearing a wig, though. Because his hair looks weird to me. We know, of course, Doug is wearing a wig, which I didn't know about.
I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently he was bald, which, I mean, you know, I guess it might have changed his character a little bit had he not had hair. What do you think?
I'm glad he has hair. Yeah, because when I look at him now... it's a little different, but yeah, I didn't know it started this early.
It's like The Rock, except, you know, not all like great shape. So, But yeah, I think he pulls off the bald head look fine.
He does. He's embraced it.
But definitely, this guy, definitely if you're looking for like a kind of a sci-fi weird show, Warehouse 13 with this guy.
Nice steal, man. Hey, I think he heard you.
Yeah, see, you treat them like dirt and they do what you want.
You know you're going to make a great dad someday?
Oh my God.
The tables have now turned.
Yeah, exactly. So we go over... Wait, are we in the middle of this?
No. Okay. I mean, the doctor told me it was totally normal, but I don't know. Are your breasts lopsided? No.
CMI. Yeah. Too much information.
This woman has no filter. And then she's like, do you want to go and get lunch sometime? And Kara's like, no. And then she goes, I mean, all right, so this is TMI, right, to begin with? And then she like
takes it to another level,
triples down on how she's way too tiny, quote, down there. And she should stretch because sex is pain, uncomfortable. It's like, holy cow, like she's known her for 20 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah, filter gone.
Yeah. And that's not how you build a good relationship. So let's see. We end up at Cooper's, which is looks totally different now, but and is not, as far as I know, a Cooper's. I looked it up, I think, on the first episode. I'm forgetting what I looked up, but either
way. I remember something about California or something y'all were talking about.
No, there's a place. I'm going to look it up right now again. Just Cooper's Camp Queens location. The exterior of Cooper's Ale House from the King of Queens was filmed at Yerman's Irish Pub, located at 89-70 Cooper Avenue in Glendale, Queens, New York City.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I definitely want to go and take some of those photos one day. That's on my bucket list.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm looking. I'm just going to look it up, and I'll bring it up on the screen to show you what it looks like today.
I love the scene we're going into because he gets dubbed the Fixer.
Oh, man, I love the Fixer. All right, so here we are. That's not it. I don't think we're in the right place in New York City. Huh.
This doesn't interesting.
This looks like your average Queens location. Let's see. I need to find it now. Now it'll bug me.
Where is Cooper's?
You know what? I don't think that Google has the correct address. I'll investigate and come back to it in the next episode, maybe.
For sure.
But it's certainly not the New York City Kitchen and Bath. This episode's brought to you by... Kitchen and Bath NYC. Come down there for your new granite countertops. All right.
That was pretty good.
Thanks. I'm ready for the commercials. I just despise commercials so much.
Let me freshen you up there. Oh my, very generous. I hope you're not going to try to take advantage of me later.
Again, Arthur.
Oh no. Boy.
Again, Arthur. No. Also, Arthur drinking. Kind of a weird thing to. Yeah.
Well, we've seen that, you know, whether it's a Rob Roy or, you know, and they found him at the docks, you know.
The docks. The docks was great.
Hey, Jake. Arthur, what brings you to our little watering hole?
One of my favorite things that they call Arthur, and I think it was only Doug, he goes, arthritis.
That is a good one.
Fellas, say hello to the Fixer. He's drinking on me tonight.
What are you talking about?
He fixed my parking ticket like magic. He's like the Lucky Charms guy. And tell him the story.
I merely gave it to my pal Smitty downtown. He ripped it up and threw it in the air like so much confetti. He's theatrical that way.
Wow.
Hey, you know, me and Spence get tickets in front of our building all the time.
Don't worry about it, man. From now on, just give them to the Fixer here.
Oh, Deacon, what are you doing there? This poor guy.
Listen, and I love this camera angle that's coming up when they zoom in on their faces. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Could we?
Are you kidding? This guy's got the hookup. He just feeds into Smitty, and they go away. Right, Arthur?
In his head, he's like, oh, man, it's not playing.
Right, look at Spencer's face, though. Look at the creepiness.
Yeah, look at him. He's a psycho.
Park with impunity.
Park with impunity. Then we get this montage of them parking poorly. One of the most petty things here is right this particular one.
He goes too far, just disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably at the time a dime to put into the thing. Maybe it's a quarter. I don't know. But yeah, he's just the ticket taker or the ticket person is there and she's giving tickets and he's
just classic like, Spence just going too far, taking it to another level.
Yep. So let's see, we're at Doug's house. I think we're playing PS2, maybe.
Basketball. You know, we should actually go to the park and play hoop sometime.
He's with Eddie.
I'm gonna level with you. I'm winded from this.
You know what?
Yeah, I said, let's keep it real. I'm winded from this.
Yeah.
But I gotta run. Just gotta make a pit stop first. They have 90. Hey.
So this is where when worlds collide, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and it is a PS2 that they're playing.
Hey.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Ellie.
All right. I gotta get going. Kara, can I just fill up my water bottle?
Yeah, right in there.
So this is where the idea gets sort of planted.
Ellie's filling up her water bottle and Eddie's peeing upstairs. It's the circle of life.
Hey, I got Nick tickets for Friday. What do you say we give Ellie and Stuart another shot, huh?
Oldie? Not a chance.
Oldie?
Oldie. Yeah, definitely ageism.
But you know, this is another thing that couples do. I'm not saying you and your wife definitely do this, but you kind of crap talk people a little bit and you come up with like, I believe we do.
Words. We definitely do it.
We used to have, we're talking like a very long time ago. We had an apartment out on Long Island and we had just gotten married and we had this one neighbor who's so annoying and I'm even forgetting his real name right now, but him and his wife lived in this little tiny apartment right next door and he would ask me every day, hey, you guys want to plan to go to Atlantic City or something? You know, like he wanted to have these excursion weekends with us. And I'm like, no, no, no. And then something happened with her and they both got lipo one weekend and they both like, yeah, yeah. And they were both like 100 pounds less or something, not 100 pounds, but like 50 pounds less.
Noticeably different.
Yeah. And she got her face all injected and she was looking crazy. And then he was looking crazy. He started getting, now that I think about it, he looked a lot like Doug's cousin. Why I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden. What's Doug's cousin's name?
Danny.
Yeah, he looked like him, like with the frosted tips and stuff. And we called them lipo and lipette.
Oh.
And we're like, we're never going to go away with these people. But, you know, maybe they meant well, but. You know, that's all.
Now, you might have dodged one on that one.
Yeah, I think we did because she ended up like, you know, wrecking their whole existence. And, you know, I wish them the best right now. But yeah, I never went away with them to Atlantic City. But lipo and lipette.
Hey, let's ask Eddie and Simone.
What? Do you think that couple worked for me? I'm not spending another 3 hours with Lopsidey.
Lopsidey.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
That is a really dumb nickname.
Okay, would you prefer Tiny Jiny?
And Doug's response is totally Doug. Right up there with, like, the Ayatollah.
I think I would.
Anything to just, you know, be right. So they ask them, can you go? And they're like, no, I can't do it because their significant others can't do it. They meet. And they all go to the game. And they're having a great time. And we're back to Arthur.
I love this scene. Yeah. when he loses
it. Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot about his
Oh my god.
I also like it when they're working for Carrie and it's like, I'm thirsty.
There's no way I can pay all these tickets. The boys are going to find out I'm a fraud. It's over. Over.
Smitty's still going to take care of my ticket, right?
There is no Smitty, you crazy old man.
And then, you know, it's funny because I forgot he does this twice.
He loses it.
Christ, the day I ever met that eight-fingered freak.
What if I call Smitty myself?
Shut up!
That's amazing.
Hilarious.
Great night.
Fantastic. We finally find the perfect couple, and they're not even a couple.
Do you remember Kengo hats in the 90s were really big wearing backwards?
Absolutely.
In early 2000s. Absolutely.
I'm a hip-hop head, so most definitely.
Yeah, and I definitely wore my fair share of them because I was always growing my hair out, and it was like the perfect way to not have my hair like brushed.
I know. I mean, it was incredible. Me and him, you and her, me and her. You.
But I would never wear this one. This is a hat. I think it's a bit much.
I don't even know where this hat came from. He's doing a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
Him. It was working from every angle.
I mean, why can't Eddie and Ellie just be a couple? We could do everything with them. Movies, barbecues, Vermont. We've always wanted to go to Vermont.
They would be phenomenal in Vermont.
Doug doesn't even like Vermont.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe they're attached to other people.
Sucks.
Cupid really botched this one.
Swing and a miss for the naked baby.
Swing and a miss for the naked baby.
How sweet would it be if Oldie and Tiny were out of the picture? Then we could just put Eddie and Ellie together.
Hey, maybe we can just sit down with all of them and very politely ask them to switch partners.
I would have loved if they had, because they do have a moment later. So I'm a big Hitchcock fan, and there's a movie, Strangers on the Train, which, of course, Throw Mama from the Train, famously parodied, but where they basically swap murders, you know, like,
right,
you know, you kill my mother-in-law and I'll kill your wife type of thing. And
I'm a big fan too.
Okay, good. There's a moment later where I feel like there's a certain Hitchcockian moment, but I would have loved it if they started singing, you know, crisscross or something like that. It would have been, I don't know. I think that there's Hitchcockian moments throughout the series. I don't know why I think that right now, but I know that there's moments that I've pointed out.
There's a lot of plotting and planning and scheming going on. Yeah. So that's definitely in line with Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Or we can cut Oldie and Tiny's breaks like they do in the movies.
Or Carrie did maybe in high school or middle school.
Oh, boy.
That's good, but I don't fit under cars anymore.
All right, let's just stop this. We're just torturing ourselves.
You're right.
Eddie and Ellie are not together, and they never will be. We just need to forget tonight ever happened.
So, this is actually really funny. So, they, Arthur's getting desperate to pay all of these bills because he's basically buying his friends. So he goes to the blood bank to sell blood.
What?
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Spooner.
No, thank you. Now please make the check out to the Parking Violations Bureau.
He's like writing it right to them. He doesn't even want it in his name.
He's totally oblivious. He's super desperate at this point.
Oh, we don't pay people for their blood anymore.
What?
Only the less reputable places still pay cash.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of weird, actually. It's a weird thing to say, because I would imagine that the places that pay cash are more reputable.
I'd like my blood back, please.
This is great.
Right, me. Pump it back in. I'm taking my business elsewhere.
I can't pump your blood back in.
You're going to pump it into someone else, right?
Yes.
Well, meet someone else.
Security.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do it.
He has all the tickets in front of him. And he's like, eh. I would have liked it if he had maybe an apple juice sippy cup or something. It's like, this is all I get. We're in spin class.
Great time. Actually, it was just what I needed. Huh? Well, can I tell you something?
That music, it's so generic.
Sure. Things aren't going that well between me and Stuart.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, don't get me wrong. He's great. Really. It's just a lot of stuff. I mean, the age difference and, you know what? I'm overreacting. Forget it. Everything's fine.
No, hey, slow down there, girly girl.
Let's talk.
I had my mouse in the wrong spot. So let's see. Carrie comes home and breaks the news that she's learned.
But she said something about things.
Oh, whoops.
What's with you?
I did it, Doug.
Did what?
I don't know how it started, but she said something about things not going well with her and Stuart, you know, like he's old and everything. And before I knew it, I said, yeah, and what if you guys do want to have kids? I just thought of that one right there on the spot. And she said, yeah, that it has been an issue. And then I said, well, hey, maybe you guys should think about taking a break. And now, and she said, yeah, and now they're separating.
She's
diabolical.
Yeah. It is pretty diabolical. You know, by the way, it's not Simone. What is this character's name? Remember? I just Ellie. So Ellie was actually in a few episodes of the TV show Shameless. I don't know her from very much. She looks very familiar. I like the actress, but you know. So she goes on talking about breaking them up.
What? I'm hungry, Dad. Come on, let's go get some steaks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm surprised that wasn't a big distraction for Doug. It's like, steak?
Right, that usually throws him off, right?
Yeah. Marriage?
It was headed there anyway. Now all you gotta do is break up Eddie and Tiny.
What?
What?
Eddie
what?
And Tiny.
Eddie and Tiny.
This is exactly what we talked about.
I love how casual she is with it and how she even doubles down with the level of it being a casual thing.
We also talked about cutting their brakes. You want to do that too?
And this.
We don't have to do that now, you doof. Hello?
Carrie, I think that Leah Remini is such an underrated comic. She delivers these lines so flawlessly. It's, I don't know.
Oh my God, you are terrifying. Kids are going to start wearing you as a Halloween mask.
Doug!
That's a great line as well.
Doug, we're halfway there. I broke up a marriage. All you got to do is break up a boyfriend and a girlfriend. I could do that before breakfast.
No, I'm not doing it.
Doug, Vermont. Think of Vermont. Skiing. Just the four of us relaxing in the hot tub. I bet you they look pretty when they're wet.
She's crazy.
No, that is it. End of story, okay?
This is really great.
Stop staring, devil woman!
So next day, they go to Cooper's and they're hanging out. I'm going to play the beginning of this, but he goes on and on and on. And I guess that's the point. But Eddie's on the phone with Simone.
Yeah, I'm having a beer with Doug. Oh, it's one beer, okay? I'll see you at home. Man, Simone is all over me lately. You know what I'm all over? Purple M&Ms. I fought them for a while, but they won. I mean, she's pretty, but she's really needy. You know, she's always asking if I think her boobs look normal.
This is a great response.
They look fine. Now, can you put them back in?
So he's like, what should I do, Doug? So Doug comes home, kind of a broken man, like he just committed murder.
Right.
And he's like, it's done. And Carrie's response is really amazing. This is like very cinematic, this little moment.
Oh, absolutely.
The way she runs up. They embrace. I always like to see where this might be. They seem to block out a lot of the phone numbers. We should definitely go and like do some prank calling one day. So let's see, we have the fixer coming for to hang out with the guys.
Gentlemen, hey. I have a moment.
Hey.
Moment of your time.
Let's go. Make some space for the fixer, yeah. Boys.
There we go, right there.
So he wants to break the news that, you know, it's not financially feasible for him to continue paying all of their ridiculous tickets.
These past few weeks we've spent together, they've meant the world to me. But the truth is,
I think this is also what you were talking about with the close-ups of their faces.
Yes.
Another creepy face, by the way. Like from
Adam's face.
That's a terrible haircut with this little thing. You know, it does, like, short hair is fine, but tame it a little bit. Something. And that shirt's horrible.
The truth is, it's an honor to fix your tickets.
Fix it. I didn't catch that until just now.
Well, listen, when I watched the episode the other day, I looked and we're going to hear this opera music come on soon. I was like, what is that?
You mean the slow motion part?
Yeah. So they're going to go into The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart. And I was like, okay, how appropriate.
Fix it. This is like, you know the movie Goodfellas, right?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit, like the slow motion. Like where they go around killing everyone. So yeah, we get this montage of getting impounded. Impound fee is only $250 20 years ago. We're putting wheel locks. Yeah. Doing all types of crazy things, and people just getting towed away, and you know that's Deacon's, you know, caravan or minivan, yeah, or whatever. And, you know, he's got kids. He's got kids to worry about. So we're back at the Madison Square Garden. How mad Doug is. Doug is just feeling the guilt.
Yeah, you know he's a good guy. He doesn't like venturing off the beaten path.
Doug has a lot of moral issues that come out. You know, like how morally is going. One of my favorites also is, and it's one of the later episodes with the cake sale where Carrie has to make the cake. It's so funny to me where she's like drunk and I don't know. I just find that episode to be a big holiday type of episode as well. But how, you know, when they were praying for food.
That's what I was just thinking of.
There's so many morals. I can't think of too many more. I mean, it comes up time and time again.
Yeah, and then he equates eating the Clark bar, and then she comes back with she kidnapped somebody and stole a car, and he's like mortified.
Right, you ever steal something? Well, there's this one time we did a carjacking. I was like, what?
I don't even know this woman.
The things we do when we're young, right? Kara's hair looks weird, looks different here.
Great game, huh? What's your problem?
They're my problem.
What? Look at them. They're perfect. We made a beautiful match.
By the way, different extras for each time that we see them sitting in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I want to see.
I respect that. Yeah.
That's real.
Now, I do want to point out one thing, because these are supposed to be like the company seats, right?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
For a big law firm.
Four innocent people into the lab and built ourselves a Franken couple.
Just stop it.
So they're getting loud now, you know, Ellie and Eddie, which are perfect name. I'd love it if like this became like a slightly reoccurring couple where it's like they're all of a sudden like doing amazing things. I would have loved to see that.
That would have been a good
round to go. Are you guys okay over there?
Oh, yeah. It's all good over here. No problems.
It's all good. We're fine. We got what we wanted. Clearly, that's all that really matters.
All right, just Diet Coke for me, baby. Thanks.
What is up with Doug?
I don't know. He's been acting like a real tool lately.
I don't get it. What is Carrie seeing in him?
I don't know.
Turn around is fair play.
Jeff.
Oh, my God. Eddie, how you doing?
Great. Wow, it's been a few years, yeah. Huh?
How'd you score these seats?
So where's Jeff headed that he has better seats? That's what it was kind of, you know, he has better seats than a law firm's, like, company seats.
Right.
Interesting. And who's Jeff, you know?
Oh,
maybe, I mean, for all we know, he's an entrepreneur, philanthropist.
We got him from our friend Carrie.
Ooh, she's cute. What's her situation?
Well...
Go for it.
She's with someone, but they seem to fight a lot lately. Carrie, meet Jeff.
The way that Eddie looks, like, almost right into the camera. All right, so we get this little.
I like this closing scene.
Yeah, me too.
You know, they might be perfect for each other.
You know, there's a similar closing with Spence and someone else, and I can't remember who it is. It's another woman, and he kind of tries to talk to her, and then she rejects him. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
It doesn't come to mind.
I'll have to point it out in the future, but it's very, very similar, and I actually confused it to the point where I thought that she rejected this guy, like, right away, but I'm wrong.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And to those who are just listening, of course, this is Oldie and Tiny.
I mean to stare, but you just look so lovely in that sweater.
Really? Because it's hard for me to shop. I'm a little uneven on top.
TMI again.
Well, you look perfect to me.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah. They really should. They'll be a good couple. But yeah, I thought, I think this is a hilarious episode, and yeah, this is one that if it just pops on randomly, I'm going to sit through it. It's a very funny episode.
Same Connect Four. We get to see a lot of, Carrie and Doug doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely enjoyed this episode as well too.
Yeah. But Dumaka, I want to thank you so much for coming on again. I hope that I can get you to come on again in the near future.
Definitely. Looking forward to it. I'm definitely along for the ride. My wife wants to, I can't remember the name of the episode with the, when he hits the chicken. So she's dying to get a crack at that episode.
Yeah,
that is a great episode.
I'll put that one aside and we'll do that. That's love awesome. It. But yeah, that is a really good one because he becomes like smarter.
Like, yeah, listen, I love it. Like, Volga.
And I think there's some truth to, you know, like removing like sugars and, you know, not to get luxury here, but if you start like removing all of like the chemicals and stuff and start eating more clean, absolutely it will improve your like vision. It'll improve
especially
your
the
health.
Way Doug eats, right?
I don't know if it'll raise your IQ, but it'll allow you to maybe accumulate intelligence.
And that's what he was doing. Look, he's in the crossword puzzle and everything.
And that one thing where it's like the pizza. Oh wait, the Leaning Tower of Pizza. It's a gonna fall, something like that.
Yeah, the universe was definitely working against him on that episode.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That's really good. Yeah, let's definitely do that one in the near future, man. I think that's perfect.
Love it.
But thank you so much. People should head on over, hopefully. Head on over to Facebook, look up the King of Queens podcast. I think it might be the only one that's called King of Queens podcast. But also head over to kingofqueenspodcast.com. And if you like this show, subscribe, leave it a review.